Apple's lockdown mode blocks an iOS 0 day. Chemical elements and volcanoes are out as Microsoft overhauls its APT naming scheme, and Redline malware servers temporarily disrupted. This is Risky Business News, prepared by Catalin Kimpanu and read by me, Claire Aird. Today is the 19th of April, and this podcast episode is brought to you by application allow listing software maker Airlock Digital. In today's top story, Apple's lockdown mode security feature successfully blocked the execution of an iOS 0 day exploit. According to Citizen Lab, the 0 day was developed by Israeli company NSO Group and was used in attacks in October of last year. Now, the attacks targeted members of Mexico's civil society who were investigating the Mexican army's role in extrajudicial killings and disappearances. The exploit is named Pwn Your Home and was deployed against both iOS 15 and iOS 16 devices. On iOS 16, where Apple's new lockdown mode is available, Citizen Lab says targets received real-time warnings when the exploit was executed. Besides Pwn Your Home, Citizen Lab says the same campaign also used two other exploits named Find My Pwn and Latent Image. Both of these targeted iOS 15, where lockdown mode wasn't available to protect users. In other news, Microsoft says Iranian state-sponsored hackers have moved from reconnaissance operations to direct targeting of US critical infrastructure, possibly in preparation for future destructive operations. Intrusions between late 2021 to mid-2022 have been linked to the Iranian Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps APT unit, known as Charming Kitten or Phosphorus. According to Microsoft, compromised entities included seaports, energy companies, transit systems, and a major US utility and gas entity. The attacks consisted of highly targeted phishing campaigns and the exploitation of recently patched vulnerabilities in common enterprise applications, usually with publicly available POC exploits. Software exploited in the attacks includes the Zoho Manage Engine, IBM Aspera Fastpex, and Apache Log4j. Meanwhile, Microsoft has overhauled its threat actor naming scheme. The company's moved away from using chemical elements, trees, and volcanoes to name state-sponsored actors, surveillance vendors, and cybercrime groups. The move comes after the cybersecurity community has complained that it's hard to find Microsoft research on a particular threat actor because it uses vague names that often result in generic search results on unrelated topics. Microsoft's new naming scheme will now include a combination of a color name and a weather phenomenon for threat actor names. Existing threat actors have all received new names, such as Mint Sandstorm, which was previously tracked under the very generic Phosphorus codename. ESET and GitHub have disrupted the backend panels of the Redline InfoStealer. ESET says it identified 4 GitHub repositories the Redline malware was using to authenticate operators when they logged into backend admin panels. GitHub has taken down the 4 repositories, and currently, cybercrime operators who bought access to the Redline malware can't access their backends. ESET says this is a temporary disruption and that the Redline authors will most likely distribute an update to fix the broken authentication mechanism. A Russian national who laundered money for the Ryuk ransomware gang has received a light sentence from US authorities. Denis Dubnikov was sentenced to time served and will only have to pay a $2,000 forfeiture, according to court documents. Dubnikov was arrested in the Netherlands and extradited to the US in November 2021. He pleaded guilty this February to laundering more than $400,000 of ransom proceeds for the Ryuk ransomware gang. Google says its security team disrupted the APT-41 Chinese cyber espionage group in October last year. The group was abusing Google services to target a Taiwanese media organization. The final payload in these attacks was an open source red team tool named Google Command and Control. The tool's written in the Go programming language, and it's somewhat unique because it retrieves commands to execute on an infected host from a Google Sheets document and then sends exfiltrated data to a Google Drive account. This allowed Google to disrupt the group's activities. The APT41 group is also known as Hoodoo. UK and US cybersecurity authorities have linked a series of attacks against Cisco routers in 2021 to APT28, Russia's GRU military intelligence agency. The attacks exploited a vulnerability in the SNMP interface of Cisco routers to execute code and install a malware strain named Jaguar Tooth. US and UK officials say victims included a small number of European and US government institutions and around 250 Ukrainian organizations. And some good news, the median dwell time of an attacker inside a compromised network went down to 16 days last year, according to MTrends 2023, which is a report compiled by Mandiant using data from its incident response teams. The number's gone down from 21 days in 2021 and 416 days in 2011, suggesting companies have gotten better at detecting threat actors inside their networks. Mandiant's latest dwell time figure is similar to the 11-day dwell time reported by SecureWorks in its own yearly report published last October. A company that provides IT service to charities and non-profits across the UK named Avid has suffered a ransomware attack. The ransomware gang is believed to have accessed the personal data of some of its customers, including four Irish organisations that deal with survivors of rape and sexual abuse. RTE News reports Avid does not intend to pay the requested ransom demand. One of the world's largest manufacturers of networking equipment, CommScope, has suffered a ransomware attack at the hands of the Vice Society ransomware gang. Data containing the personal information of thousands of employees was published on the gang's dark web portal this week. CommScope confirmed the incident, which allegedly took place at the end of March. And lastly, Google and multiple legal experts have set up a non-profit organisation that will provide a legal defence fund for security researchers who are sued or prosecuted for pursuing good faith security research. The non-profit won't provide direct legal representation to researchers, but will provide grants to cover legal expenses. And that is all for this podcast edition. Closing the episode is Airlock Digital CEO David Cottingham.
In Australia, there's a federal government requirement contained in the Essential 8 mitigation strategies that relates to application control, and it states that customers should implement the Microsoft Recommended Blocklist and Microsoft Recommended Driver Blocklist. If you haven't heard of these lists before, they're essentially a collection of rules which either lock down functionality in the Windows operating system, which is commonly abused by attackers, or they block known malicious or vulnerable items of code from loading on the system. As we here at Airlock Digital align our allow listing product heavily with the Essential 8 standard, it's really important that we implement these lists accurately. During research of the driver block list in particular, there's a hash value type in the list that we previously had never heard about, which is called the TBS hash, or the to be signed hash, and this can be calculated on any file which has a digital signature attached to it. The TBS hash is essentially used in the certificate signing process and used by Windows Code Integrity rule sets. At a high level, the TBS hash is essentially a SHA-based hash of a digital certificate's properties, which includes the length of the certificate, serial number, issuer, etc., and it's the same data that's contained in a certificate signing request. So why is this TBS hash used or important? Essentially, it's used to uniquely identify a request which is sent to a certificate authority for signing, and as a result, it's the best way to block leaked code signing certificates. Using the TBS hash, you can uniquely identify a certificate's properties before signing, preventing the need to trace around thousands of certificate thumbprints once files have been signed.
And that was David Cottingham from today's sponsor, Airlock Digital. You can find links to all the reports mentioned in this show in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com. Thanks for your company.